morning. Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Thank you for coming. We had a wonderful time with the teens last night. We had a bonfire. Finally got to have our bonfire. And the Lord worked it out. It was a beautiful night. And we had 10 or 11 teens show up, and some of them are here this morning. It's good to see our young people, our young teens here this morning. And we had a good time. I want to thank Bruce and Elaine for opening their house to our young people. And boy, it was a wonderful time. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. My wife is homesick this morning because of, I don't know, she said something about walking on the sand out there. Messed her up. I don't know what that means, but she's pregnant. She's got an excuse, I guess. But amen. Pray for her. She's not feeling well. I saw her this morning. She didn't look good. I said, you better go back to bed. And now, she should be here tonight, I hope, if she's feeling better. Just pray for her. Amen. Well, we are not going to be having a special service tonight at the Senior Center. We're going to postpone that until possibly next week. I'd like to get in there next week. We're not going to be using the cafeteria anymore. They've shut that down on us, but they're going to give us another room to use. And so we'd like to continue to do that. And we're going to work on that. So pray about that. I'm going to be stopping by the Senior Center this evening on my way to church. We're going to have service here this evening. And I'm going to try and pick up some of our elders over there and bring them here. And pray about that ministry. And pray about our teen ministry. We'd like to get something consistent going with our young people. So pray about that. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I was thinking about a joke to tell. I heard a joke a few weeks ago about a preacher who was kind of discouraged. And he decided to go to a big preacher's meeting. No, he went to this big preacher's meeting, and there was a lot of big preachers there. And they had a preaching all day type of thing, and he sat through that. And a well-known preacher got up in the pulpit, and before he preached, he said, "I have a confession to make to you this morning." And he said, "I've spent half of my life in the arms of a woman who was not my wife." Boy, everybody was just, you know, shocked. I mean, here was this well-known preacher making a confession that, you know, he'd spent half his life in the arms of a woman who was not his wife. And he had their attention. He said, that woman was my mother. And everybody laughed and thought that was great. And the preacher that was sitting there, he said, "Boy, that's pretty good. I like that joke." He said, "I'm going to try that on my congregation next week." So he got in his pulpit that following Sunday. He got up there and he said, "I've got a confession to make. I spent half my life in the arms of a woman who was not my wife." And everybody was shocked. I mean, he had their attention. And he stood there for a few moments and didn't say anything. And everybody just kind of waiting for him to say something. And finally, after several moments, he said, "And I forgot who she was." But I'm not, my wife's not, she doesn't like me telling jokes. She says I don't tell them right. So, and I can understand how that preacher felt, believe me. But amen. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to read starting in verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 3. "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, There we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless your word as it's preached this morning, God. I pray that you would bless your people. And God, I pray that the words that are preached here, Lord, that they would be your words, not mine. And God, that you'd speak to hearts and that your Holy Spirit, God, would move amongst us, Lord. We need you, Lord. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, this is all in vain. Lord, help me as I preach. God, I know that I am nothing. And God, Lord, that I can do nothing without you. Fill me with your power. And Lord, I pray if there's any lost soul here this morning, God, that they would, Lord, repent of their sins and trust you as their Savior. In your name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Israel, as a nation, had lost the power and presence of God. The Ark of the Lord had been captured by the Philistines in battle, and God's people were left here without any spiritual leadership or direction. Now, the enemies of God's people, the Philistines, they had the Ark of the Covenant in their possession. The Bible tells us that because they captured the Ark of the Lord and brought it back into the land of Philistines, that the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them. When the Philistines took the Ark of the Lord and they brought it into to the land of the Philistines, they put it in the house of Dagon, their false god. And they set it by their false god Dagon. Well, the next morning, the Philistines went into the house of God, house of their god, to worship Dagon. And they found their idol, their image of Dagon, on its face before the Ark of God. So they helped their god up. They helped their idol up and set it back in its place. And the next day they came in, and again their idol was on its face before the Ark of God. But this time Dagon's head and his hands were cut off, and the only thing left of the Philistines' god was its stump. And when the Philistines saw what had happened to their god, they said, "The Ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us." They said, "Let's get rid of this thing. We don't want it here. We've had enough of the presence of God in the land of the Philistines." So the Philistines sent the Ark of God back into the land of Israel. And here in chapter 7, the Ark of God is now back in the hands of the people of God where it belonged. And in verse 3, the prophet Samuel, we hear from the prophet Samuel. And the Bible says in verse 3, "Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." A few weeks ago, I preached a message on why the glory's gone. This morning, I'd like to preach on having a heart for revival. Having a heart for revival. The prophet Samuel was a man with a heart for revival. Samuel wanted to see God's people get their hearts right. Samuel's first message to Israel was a message on the subject of revival. Samuel had seen the disobedience and destruction of Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons. He had witnessed the fall and death of Eli, the high priest. He had watched the failure and the defeat of God's people at the hands of their enemies. Samuel saw the Ark of God captured by the Philistines in battle. Samuel saw Israel lose the power and the presence of God. There is no doubt the heart of the prophet Samuel beat for revival. And Samuel knew that unless the hearts of God's people were supernaturally and spiritually touched by the Holy Ghost, there would be no revival in Israel. Now the Bible makes it clear that revival is a heart matter. Revival is birthed in the heart of God's people. Revival starts on the inside before it ever shows up on the outside. Samuel in verse 3 told the people to prepare their hearts unto the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth." The man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart of man. When Saul was first anointed king of Israel, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26, "There went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." And in the next chapter, God delivered his people out of the hand of Nahash the Ammonite. God wrought victory in Israel. God gave Israel victory and power over their enemies because God had touched the hearts of a band of men. In 1 Kings chapter 2, David, a man after God's own heart, dies. And Solomon, his son, takes the throne. In chapter 3, God appears to Solomon and says, "Ask what I shall give thee." "What do you want, Solomon?" "Ask anything and I'll give it to you." And Solomon said, "Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil." The Bible says Solomon's speech pleased the Lord. And God gave Solomon a wise and an understanding heart so that there was none like him, the Bible says. And God used Solomon to build his house, to build the temple. And there was nothing like the temple in all the world. The Bible tells us about the dedication of that temple. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the Bible says he gathered all Israel together. Everybody was there. And the Bible says Samuel stood in the midst of the people and he lifted his hands towards God and he said, "Lord, there's no God like thee." And you talk about a revival service. They had revival there that day. Solomon and all Israel were blessed with the peace and prosperity of God for many years. The Bible says the whole world knew that God was with Solomon and with his people. The Bible says when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And Solomon told her all her questions, the Bible says, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba, the Bible says, when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, "Behold, the half was not told me. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel." God gave Samuel a heart for revival. In 1 Kings chapter 15, the house of Judah experienced revival under the reign of Asa. The Bible says, "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. And also Maacah his mother, even he removed from being queen because she made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron." Listen, Asa was so interested in revival that he removed his own mother from being queen because she was an idolater. That's taking revival seriously. The Bible says Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Asa had a heart for revival. In 2 Kings chapter 21, Josiah begins his reign in Jerusalem. And the Bible says Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all of the ways of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. The Bible says Josiah's heart was tender, and he gathered all the people together in the house of the Lord, and Josiah and all the people made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul. And the Bible says all the people stood to the covenant. The Bible says Josiah burned all the idols in the land and destroyed their altars. Josiah put down the idolatrous priests and broke down the houses of the Sodomites and put away the workers with familiar spirits and wizards. And boy, I could stop there and preach for a while, but I'm not. I'm going to move on. And the Bible says, "Like unto him there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might." Josiah had a heart for revival. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, King Hezekiah begins his reign in Jerusalem. And you talk about apostasy. There was apostasy in the land. I mean, God's people were nowhere near the Lord. They had forsaken God. They had turned to Baal and they were worshiping and serving idols, false gods. As Hezekiah comes into the picture, and the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says it was in his heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. The first thing Hezekiah did was open the doors of the house of God that his father Manasseh had shut up. And he brought the priests and the Levites in and commanded them to sanctify themselves and to cleanse the temple. And Hezekiah, the Bible says, sent to all Israel and all Judah that they should come to the house of the Lord and at Jerusalem to keep the Passover under the Lord God of Israel. Remember, the kingdom had been split. The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah were separated, and Hezekiah called them together. This had not been done before since the split. Hezekiah called them together, and the Bible says that God gave them one heart to do the commandment of the king by the word of the Lord. And the Bible says there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast. Some came, others did not. The Bible says some mocked, some laughed at Hezekiah. But that didn't stop Hezekiah. The Bible says much people did come. The Bible says there, a multitude of people were come. And the Bible says many in the congregation were not sanctified. A multitude of the people had not cleansed themselves, the Bible says. But Hezekiah prayed for them. The same, the good Lord, pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Bible says the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. You know why? Because Hezekiah had a heart for revival. Things weren't just right, but God's people were interested in revival. God's king, God's man was interested in revival, and God gave them one heart. God gave them a heart for revival. Every one of these men had a heart for revival. And what the world needs and what America needs and what Barrow needs is Christians with a heart for revival. Revive means to bring to life again. Listen, the God of the Bible is not dead. The God of revival is not dead. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. Now, if we believe that God is alive and that He's real and that He lives in our hearts, then why are God's people so spiritually dead? Why are our churches dead? Why aren't we moved? Why aren't we stirred? Why are we so hard-hearted and cold towards God? Why does the subject of revival not interest us? Why does the thought of yielding ourselves completely to God repulse us? Do we even want God to send revival? If we have no desire to see revival, listen, revival will never come. God's Holy Spirit will pass right by this church and write Ichabod over the door. Listen, whether we want revival or not, revival is what we need. We need God to give us a heart for revival. Say, what does it mean to have a heart for revival? I believe having a heart for revival means, first of all, having a broken heart. A broken heart because of sin. The Bible says a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he got out of the will of God. David was away from God. The Bible says there in Psalms 51, David prayed. David confessed his sins. David got his heart right. David said, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David said, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. David was a broken man. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When God's people come to Him with a broken, humble, and penitent heart, God takes notice. God's children confess their sin and seek God's cleansing and forgiveness, revival will come. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I believe having a heart for revival not only means having a broken heart, I believe having a heart for revival means having a burdened heart. A burdened heart for souls. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm sure you've heard the story about a man who got saved in a church and he left for several years. Went to the mission field, got called to the mission field in this church and got saved in this church. And he went off to the mission field and they'd send him support. And after a while, his support stopped. They stopped sending him support after several years. Well, he was on a furlough. He came back to the States and he went to find that church. Hadn't heard from anybody in that church for a long time. He wanted to find out what was going on in that church. And he went to where that town was and found that church. And he drove into the parking lot and he saw that the church was vacant. The parking lot was vacant. The church was all boarded up. Nobody was there. And this was a Sunday. He was there for services. Well, he went up into the front door. And even though the door was boarded up, he was able to get inside. Took some boards down and got inside. Looked inside that church and everything was a mess. Looked like nobody had been there for a long time. And he walked up through the hallway and into the foyer and into the sanctuary, and there was nobody. The pews were empty. Nobody was there. He walked up to the altar, and he got down by the altar, and sure enough, there was the altar that he got saved. There was the place where he knelt and prayed, and where he had put his faith and trust in God, and where God had called him to preach, right there at the altar. It was empty now. Church was empty. Nobody was there. He turned around to leave. His heart was broken. And he looked up, and over the back of the church, on the way, on the exit doors out of the church, the verse they had was, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." But the W had come loose somehow and was falling down, and it said, "Here, there is no vision, the people perish." When God's people are truly burdened for others, when Christians begin to show compassion and concern for a lost and dying world, when we reach out in Christ's love to help sinners find God, revival will come. But when we stop loving others, when we stop having a burden, when we lose our vision, God's going to write Ichabod over our door. Having a heart for revival means having a burdened heart. Lastly, having a heart for revival means having a burning heart. A burning heart on fire for God. That's what we need. The prophet Jeremiah had a heart for revival. His heart was broken because of the transgressions of his people. His heart was burdened to see his people return unto the Lord and walk in the old paths. And that's why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, we find Jeremiah is ready to quit. He's ready to give up. Jeremiah said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah was ready to quit. He said, "Lord, I can't do it anymore. I'm tired of this. Nobody's listening. Nobody's getting right. Revival's not come. What's going on, Lord? I'm finished. I'm done. I'm not going to speak any more in your name, Lord. I'm not going to speak your word. I'm done. I quit." But in chapter 20, verse 9, Jeremiah said, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." There was just one problem. God wasn't done with Jeremiah. God wasn't done using Jeremiah. And Jeremiah couldn't stop. The word of the Lord was in his heart as a burning fire, the Bible says. Jeremiah had a heart for revival. That's what having a heart for revival means. Oh, that God's word would be continually in our hearts as a burning fire. Oh, that God's laws and God's commandments would be in our hearts as a burning fire. Oh, that God would set our cold heart, dead hearts on fire for Him. Oh, that God would revive us again. 1 Samuel chapter 7. God sent revival to His people. Look at verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible says, "When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord for our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.'" As soon as God's people start to get right, guess who shows up? The enemy. If we want to get our hearts right, if we want to do something for God, we want to see revival, guess what? The enemy's going to show up. The enemy's going to fight against us. And that's what happened here. The enemy showed up. The devil showed up. And God's people were afraid, the Bible says. But look at verse 9. "And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shan, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" The Philistines were going to beat up on the old Israelites, but God showed up. The Bible says the Lord thundered with a great thunder. Oh, that God would thunder with a great thunder upon our enemies. As we get our hearts prepared for revival. The Bible says Samuel named the place Ebenezer. Ebenezer means "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Listen, we can't have revival without God. We've got to have God's help. We can't do anything without the Lord. We need God's help. A man once asked Jesus the question, "Which is the greatest commandment? Which is the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus?" Jesus said this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That right there is what revival is all about. And that's what we need to be all about. That's what Christians need to be all about. And that's what this church needs to be all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I'm finished. Please, nobody looking around. In just a few moments, we're going to close in prayer. But before we dismiss, I want to invite anyone and everyone here today who is interested in revival to pray with me. I'm not asking you to come. You can if you want. But I'm asking you to pray. Pray with me that God would give each of us a heart for revival. A broken heart. A burdened heart. A burning heart. Would you pray with me that God would give us a heart for revival? God's people need to have a heart for revival. A prepared heart. A pure heart. A perfect heart with God. Listen, there's room at the altar. You can pray here at the altar. Or you can pray in your seat. You can pray alone. You can pray with someone. Husbands, you can pray with your wives, your children, your family. Parents, pray with your children. Brothers and sisters, you can pray together. Fellow Christians, pray together. Maybe there's a lost person here this morning who needs to trust Christ. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you put your trust in Him? I'm talking to you, those who are lost. God knows who you are. I don't, but God does. And right now, God's speaking to your heart. God's saying, let me in. God's knocking at the door of your heart. God's saying, let me in. Trust me. Give me your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Are you going to listen? Are you going to respond? Or are you just going to sit there? Listen, I'll be up here after the service, after we're done dismissing. If you want to come and talk with me about your soul, about salvation, I'll be here. I'll be waiting. But you don't have to wait. You can come now. You can be saved now. You can trust Christ today, right now, and get that settled. But let's take a few moments here this morning to pray. To pray as God's children that God would give us and this church a heart for revival.